This is Y Nada Más. A Real Madrid Podcast.
What's going on, everybody? This is episode 12 of Y Nada Más, a Real Madrid podcast. It's been, what, like a week and a half, I think, since I last posted a podcast. Obviously, international break came around, and I treated myself to a little bit of a vacation with my family. So I was out of town and tried to fall off the grid as much as I could so nobody can contact me. So, you know, well, besides my regular Instagram posts and things like that, not on the Anonymous podcast Instagram page, on my own personal one. So anyway, how is everybody doing? How was the international break? International breaks, they bother me, but I'll talk about that in a second. So here we go. So we are episode 12 of the podcast. We just got done with match day 10 of La Liga. And, you know, we're going to go into to some of that in a few minutes. I honestly, I guess maybe the vacation helped. I guess maybe the time away from the mic for a little bit helped. But I'm a little bit, I mean, I'm not, obviously I'm not excited that we got a draw. But I saw a lot of positives. And there are things that we definitely need to change. So we'll get into that. But, you know, it's one of those things, again, where I think Madridistas are blowing some of the more negative, would blow things out of proportion and not realize people don't tend to see the bigger picture and then analyze the way things are occurring and why things are the way they are. You know, like, I mean, we'll get into that in a second. So let me just say, you know, thank you once again for the support. I hope you guys continue supporting the Real Madrid podcast, Y Nada Más, the Real Madrid podcast. You can find us on social media at Y Nada Más podcast, and that's on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. In addition, you can contact us via email at info@ynadamas.net. That is our website as well, which is info@ynadamas.net is our email. The website is ynadamas.net. So remove the podcast part from that. So ynadamas.net is our website. That's where you will find all of our episodes. If you don't follow, if you don't have a smartphone and you only have your computer wherever you are in the world, you can listen to all the episodes there. But you can also read some of our articles and analysis that have been put together by our good friend Trombach. Trombach B, as I call him, because I don't want to torture his last name, and I've already discussed that with him. So Trombach's written a couple of analysis. I think we're going to put another one up that he did of the Villarreal game. He was a little bit jaded and bothered by the result, but I think a lot of people were. You know, it's but so let's get into that in a you know, let's. So all of that stuff aside, you guys can check out everything on the website and, of course, the podcast. The podcast, as before we get into it, is available at really on everywhere podcasts are found. So you can find us on Apple Podcasts, on Google Podcasts, on Spotify. Those are the three big ones, of course. We are also on TuneIn, Stitcher, and iHeartRadio, which is the iHeartRadio app, which is, you know, big here in the United States. I don't know what the reach is outside of the United States. So anywhere podcasts are found, you can check us out. So going into this this game, you know, and I guess I'll play our usual
hostia.
So, you know, that's something we always play when there's a loss or a pinchazo. I would say this is more of a pinchazo. Pinchazo meaning you know, we got a draw. The losses as of late have been devastating. You know, I don't think we've been able to take anything positive away from a lot of our losses. You know, we struggled, you know, those struggles that we've had against Shakhtar, the struggles that we had against Cadiz, Just absolute disaster classes. And then obviously the Valencia game, which was a strange one in a lot of ways because of the 4-1 loss, you know, the three penalties, an own goal, and just a complete weird situation there. Because the team wasn't playing badly in that game, and then it was just such a horrible outcome that left everyone sort of reeling. And could you blame anybody but just luck in that sense, you know, and just bad, just bad mistakes, you know, that cost us the game. And whether whether you believe in VAR's, neutrality or you don't, you know, it cost us the game. And so after that left a lot of sour taste in everybody's mouth because it was just such a negative loss to a team that really hasn't been performing well, and that's currently Valencia, of course, that has not been performing to their usual standards, but they're suffering a lot. You know, that's speaking about, you know, a Valencia team that used to be probably one of the more difficult teams in La Liga, and a team that, honestly, when I was growing up, I used to like Valencia quite a bit. Los Che were always an interesting team to me, and it's strange to see them, you know, doing so badly. But then again, we lost against a team that was doing that badly and has lost pretty much every starter they had. You know, every positive player you can think about, whether it's Rodrigo Moreno, Ferran, Kondogbia, Coquelin, Parejo. I mean, all of those guys are gone, you know, and they're left with this sort of skeleton crew, and they beat us. And, you know, Real Madrid always has trouble at Mestalla, but it was just such a bad game, and it left us with a terrible feeling going into the international break. And here's the thing with international breaks, I think the issue with international breaks as of late bothers me because the whole world is dealing with COVID and is dealing with this outbreak of COVID-19. And it's an extremely contagious disease, easy to catch with the simplest of mistakes. If you don't follow, if you don't wear a mask here or there, or touch something that somebody that had COVID has, and then you can be asymptomatic for days. So there are people that are walking around who have it and don't know they have it. So it's kind of hard to know who does, who has it and who doesn't. So there's a lot of issues there. And so you're walking around a world where there are, what is it? There's like, I don't know how many millions of cases around the world. And so you're sending these players on planes, which is a tube in the sky that has no ventilation other than, you know, recycling the air that's within the plane. So if anybody on board has it, a lot of people are going to get it. And then you're going to a foreign country, to wherever their countries are, or wherever the country is that they're going to be playing against. And it's really up to whether those countries are following necessary protocols or somebody in there is following a necessary protocol. There's just an opportunity for infection everywhere you turn. And, you know, the thing about the leagues is I think the leagues have, at least since it's within the same country, and they kind of maintain the players if the players follow the protocols and stay within the bubble of their immediate family and then just the team, which we've seen that some players break that and have gotten in trouble for that. But it's a lot more to control, and then they're always getting tested, so it's a lot easier to kind of maintain that. But when you go overseas and you do these long international trips, there is a lot more at stake because, you know, hotels, airports, planes, all of these different areas are not going to necessarily be always 100% sanitized all the time as much as they try to. So the more you go out, and that's what we've seen, this is why lockdowns happen, is the more you go out and the more you do all these things and move about, is the higher the risk of COVID. And that's the problem, it bothers me with a team like Madrid right now, in the sense that we're already suffering from injuries. Add to insult to injury is the fact that we go on these international breaks, and not only did our players or have our players picked up COVID, like Luka Jovic picked up COVID, but then we also, you know, lost Sergio Ramos to an injury that's going to put him out for three incredibly important games. Our captain, our most important player on the pitch when it comes to motivating the rest of the squad, we're losing him due to an injury in an international game. For what? For the UEFA Nations League? I mean, this is where, like, you just wonder, you know, what UEFA and what FIFA are thinking in that sense. It's like, do we have to have these games? You know, I understand, you know, World Cup qualifiers are going on with CONMEBOL, with the South American Federation. You know, some of them are going on for World Cup qualifiers, and some of them are going on for the Nations League. It's just so insane. I just think it's such a bad decision. And because if teams are already suffering, and obviously we're being biased here because you're suffering with a lot of injuries in Real Madrid. But then you add to the fact now that we have to look at another potential hiccup or another potential thing that can keep a player away from the game. And it is dangerous to their health, I would say. I mean, you know, these guys are all in very good shape and, you know, are young, so they're not in the age group that's really at risk. But it's just putting people in harm's way, you know, and all for the business of money. And Toni Kroos had that in his podcast where he was discussing that, where he was there, you know, talking about how players are really at the mercy of UEFA and at the mercy of FIFA. Whether they want to play these games or not, they have to go. And it's just, I think during the time of a pandemic, that's probably the thing that, you know, UEFA and FIFA should be, you know, maybe thinking maybe that's not the best option right now, these international breaks, and try to limit them as much as they can for, you know, maybe the UEFA Nations League doesn't need to happen. Because really, we all know that's a glorified friendly, as nice as they are. You know, make it the World Cup qualifiers. Those are fine, and that's it. They shouldn't be playing more games than that. I don't understand this. It's just, it's all money, as they say, you know, and it's money for a federation that already has billions of dollars, and I don't know. And then it risks, you know, for us that are fans of teams, such as Real Madrid and other teams, of course, that have, you know, players have gotten COVID due to the international breaks. It's annoying. You know, I'm pretty sure it's annoying for if you were the owner of or somebody that works for Real Madrid or works for some of these clubs. It's annoying that, you know, these international breaks are not only causing your best players to get injured, but also come back with COVID. So, And I'm also speaking for my, I would rather the international break this time I was pissed off about because of the fact that, you know, I am Colombian and we performed terribly, absolutely terribly. 4-0 loss again. I mean, I'm sorry, 3-0 loss against, was it 3 or 4? Oh, God, I don't even remember. 3-0 loss against Uruguay and then a 6-1 shellacking in front of Ecuador. Just Colombia should not be performing that badly with the players they have, and we'll see what happens, because it's got to be the coach too, but the attitude of the team is just, you know. And then I saw James play today for Everton, and he looked great. So why can't that same performance be done, you know? Anyway, going into, so this all leads to the fact that obviously we lost Sergio Ramos for the Villarreal game. We're going to lose him for the upcoming Inter game. And then, of course, you know, so we have that. Then we have Casemiro with COVID, who, you know, a lot of people, we thought we were going to have him for this game. And we thought we were going to have Militao back for this game because they had supposedly gotten over COVID. But then they had two inconclusive tests before, I believe, what was it, 24 hours before they were supposed to head over to Villarreal. So they were axed from the starting 11 or from the squad list. So you now only had we didn't have, obviously, Casemiro, who's always an important part of this team. We didn't have Sergio Ramos, obviously a very huge and important part of this team. Militao is an important center back if we don't have Sergio Ramos, so we don't have a backup center back in that sense. We are missing, due to injury, Benzema, so we didn't have a striker. And then our backup striker is usually, well, hopefully you would say Luka Jovic. Do we really have a backup striker? Jovic, who performed incredibly, by the way, over the international break, and his bad luck was that he got COVID, so now we don't have a backup striker. And I really feel for the guy because I really like this guy, man. I really like Luka Jovic, and I feel like I would love, number one, for Zidane to play him more and for us to see more. Although sometimes there's performances that he's just not doing well and he's just not meshing with the team. But I think there's a lot of extracurricular things going on with Luka Jovic, such as that case he had with Serbia, with supposedly breaking COVID protocols that, they were talking about jail time for him. So he had that issue. And then there's all sorts of different issues that I guess he's kind of had in his personal life in that sense. And then, I think there's the language barrier of him being in Spain. He's not adapting to the team, but I really feel like a lot of people want Jovic to play. We want to see him play more than he's getting the opportunity to. And especially when you see the game he had against Serbia, you're wondering, he got five, two goals and he had like five completed dribbles and he was the best player on the pitch in that sense. And lo and behold, I think he would have been an option for this game had the COVID situation not happened. And you would have wondered, would we have fared a little bit better? With that said, Mariano did a great job, and I'm glad. Well, Mariano did a great job scoring the goal, and but besides that, I think what he has. So we'll go into the nitty gritty of the game now. I think what Mariano has that I was writing it on Twitter was that I feel that Mariano has something that is one of those things that you really value in a player, and sometimes players might not have the best skills or the most. They're maybe not the best players on the pitch, but they're the most, their attitude makes up for it in the sense. I mean, obviously you have to have talent to be on a professional team, especially a team such as Real Madrid. People are looking at you and people brought you in there for a reason. Now, whether you flop or not, I don't think flopping on a team like Real Madrid necessarily means you flop at your career. I mean, God knows we've had people like Arjen Robben, Wesley Sneijder, Gonzalo Higuain, and other players that maybe didn't do good at Madrid, but you can't say they were bad players, So flopping at Madrid or not performing well at Madrid isn't necessarily a detriment, doesn't necessarily mean that you as a footballer as a whole are useless, but he hasn't played well, and his skill set doesn't seem to be one. There are players that their skill set doesn't seem to be Real Madrid caliber or Real Madrid quality, as people would like to say. And I would put on that list is Mariano, Lucas Vázquez, Isco definitely showed it again in this game. Asensio has not woken up, and he continues to be somebody that's everybody's questioning his form. But the one thing that I think Lucas Vázquez shut my mouth up this season was him playing at right back and then him entering this game as our right winger. I think some people were angry about it. I was obviously questioning why we'd bring him in and not Asensio. But Asensio, let's be real, he hasn't been performing in that position. Why wouldn't we bring in Rodrigo? That's another issue there too. But I'm thinking that the thought process behind Zidane's addition to, or decision, sorry, to add Lucas Vázquez to the roster in this case was that you are facing a Villarreal that is on fire. And they are playing very well. Have not lost, they've only lost one game in the league so far. And you know, they've been undefeated in their last five or so. So in La Liga. So I mean, I guess their last loss was, no, I'm sorry, I was thinking about another team. But so they've been doing well in the Europa League. So we have Carvajal back at right back, which I think was another great positive news that we should take, that we should think about, is Carvajal is back. He showed exactly what we've been missing at right back, exactly what we've been missing in our defensive line. Carvajal showed that. But him being injured and us playing, him being somewhat still recovering from his injury and playing a team like Villarreal, which is doing well, I'm pretty sure that Zidane's mindset was, I'm going to put in Vázquez at right wing because not only does he offer me an attacking prowess or does he attack me an attacking option, but he's pretty good defensively as well. So if Carvajal wasn't up to task, you know, wasn't up to task or got tired as the game went on, or, you know, his injury was exacerbated as the game goes on, you have that option where you have somebody else sort of playing as a backup, right back in that case, and adding a defensive element to that flank. So I think that was I wouldn't say I disagree with that decision from Zidane. Mendy obviously showed that he was a beast. Well, I was trying to go back to my first point, which was why I was talking about Lucas Vázquez, is that Lucas Vázquez has shut me up in the fact that he might not be a Real Madrid caliber player, but what he makes up, what he doesn't have in that talent that we would look for in a Real Madrid player, he makes up for the fact that he is a hardworking, and I like to use the term industrious player, in the sense that he can do quite a few different things and perform in a few different positions. And when he is on, he does it well. He's not a world beater. He's not a player that you're going to write home about and be like, this is the greatest player I've ever seen. He is, you know, but he serves his purpose. And I believe Mariano has that same type of attitude when it comes to playing with Real Madrid, which is he gets very little minutes, but the times that Mariano has come on the pitch and scored goals when he has come on as a substitute are quite a few. I don't have the stats in front of me. I don't have my notes in front of me, but Mariano has always consistently did that. He did that with us in El Clásico last season. He is an industrious player. He was running after every ball, fighting for it. You could tell that he is the type of player that wants to make an impact, and I'm pretty sure part of that is that he wants to maybe increase his position on the pecking order when it comes to Zidane picking, you know, picking a backup striker if Benzema is not available, as opposed to Luka Jovic. Now, do I feel that Luka Jovic is a better player? Yes, I feel like Luka Jovic is a better player. I think that Luka Jovic, we just haven't seen it, and I just hope, you know, a lot of times I'm hoping that he appears before, God forbid, we send him on loan next season, because this could possibly be his last season with Real Madrid, or we sell him. Because if we do bring in somebody the likes of Haaland, you know, Jovic isn't going to be playing there anymore. He's gonna be gone, I think. He's gonna want to be sold or sent out on loan, you know. So this is really his last chance, and it sucks that he performed so well for Serbia over the weekend and then, you know, gets COVID because of these idiotic international breaks. You know, and that's I would have liked to see him in this game now that Benzema wasn't available. Obviously, I don't think he's going to be ready for Inter unless he like tests negative in the next few days, but I doubt that. So we'll have to see who's going to be available for Inter. Is Benzema going to be available for Inter? Or is it going to be once again Mariano? And it's going to be a tough game. Again, we're not going to have Sergio Ramos. Will Casemiro be back? I mean, those are the types of things we have a lot of questions. So let's look at the positives from this game. So, yes, it was a 1-1 draw. But I walked away from this game feeling, look, I know there's a lot of doom and gloom right now with the Madridista, Real Madrid faithful, with us Madridistas. There's a lot of doom and gloom. We're currently in fourth place, I believe. Let me check the standings right now. But I do believe we were in fourth place, with Real Sociedad obviously leading currently, who are having a phenomenal season. So, you know, Real Madrid is, yes, currently in fourth place. It's match day 10. You know, there's still many, many, many games to play. Now, and the situation is this. We have been bombarded by injuries and by COVID and by absences. I don't think we've had fielded our best starting 11 in quite some time. Maybe at the beginning of the season. But, you know, Carvajal is definitely the type of player that he's definitely, you know, I sometimes irks me that there are people who disrespect Carvajal at right back as Madridistas. He is definitely a solid right back and probably one of the best right backs in the world, in my opinion. So, you know, I think that's something that we need to take into account and stop, you know, questioning when it comes to Carvajal, is that he is a solid right back. And then, so we have him at right back. Varane looked very much like the Varane we all know and love in this game. Nacho did a phenomenal job. And he's another one of those players that I call industrious. Not necessarily a world-class, world-beater. He's always been sort of the mechanic, I would say, the todoterreno, the guy that is kind of the clutch player that you kind of bring in to fill a role when you don't have that player. So whether he's been used as a right back or used as a center back, but he did well as a center back. So our defensive line was very solid. And Mendy played again incredibly well. So our defensive line was solid. Where we lacked in this game, and what I think cost us the game, and I'll tell you what I think cost us the game, but what cost us the game too was Modric and Kroos are two phenomenal players. You cannot take that away from them. They are two phenomenal players. Modric at 35 years old, even though he shouldn't be starting right now without Valverde and without Casemiro, obviously he's going to be a starter. He's going to get tired by the end of the game, and he doesn't have the fitness now to play a full 90 minutes at the style that we're used to Modric playing. He is one of those guys that will run after every ball, try to fight for every ball, you know, run up and down the field, you know, help in defense and then help in attack. He is that type of player. But he no longer has the fitness to do that. But he once again, and him teaming up with Kroos once again, showed that they are two phenomenal midfielders. Phenomenal midfielders. Kroos, once again, obviously one of the, I think, you know, he's definitely one of the best midfielders in the world. The loss against Spain in the 6-0 with Germany, notwithstanding, because that's a whole other issue. What he does with Germany is very different to what he does with Real Madrid, and he's still one of the best players, I think, on the German squad. But you got to think about is that he's 30. You know, he's not over the hill. I definitely think Modric is towards the end of his career, but he's still putting in phenomenal performances. But they got tired. And then without having Casemiro or Valverde to back you up, the only person you have to back up in that case is Isco. I thought Odegaard played a great game. You know, obviously our midfield was, you know, using Modric and Kroos more as sort of a double pivot, and then having Odegaard be a center attacking midfielder or the playmaker per se. He did a phenomenal job. But they got tired, and with no other players that could be more defensively sound, you had to keep them in all game. And that's when we started really struggling towards the end of the second half, And, well, I would say in the second half, the entire second half, really, they were having trouble keeping up with Villarreal. And they started losing out on midfield. You know, the 50-50 balls that would end up, you know, being contested in the midfield where Modric would normally win. He wasn't winning the ball when he would normally win the chase and run down his opponent and get the ball from his opponent. He was losing them. And Kroos was also exhausted. Mariano was exhausted because, he's playing, but he's not really playing. So I'm pretty sure the adrenaline dump in that doesn't help you. So the team just looked exhausted. So then you bring on, and this is where I kind of, people are like hating on Zidane for this, but I don't hate on Zidane for bringing in, obviously bringing in Isco and Vini. I would have kept Odegaard on the field. I would have tried to keep him on the field, although they were all tired. I probably would have made them just keep going at it, you know. But, you know, there is an Inter game coming up this week, so maybe he wanted Odegaard for that. So he brought in Isco. Isco added nothing, which has unfortunately been his thing. I don't like to talk bad about players, like I say, but he's adding nothing to this team. He doesn't want to be there. At this point, I think he's already made many statements in saying that he wants to leave Real Madrid. I think at this point it's, you know, like I say, I don't like to talk bad, but in this case, it's good riddance. I mean, really, he's not at his best. I don't think he's offering anything to us in that regard. I think the best thing to do is to get rid of him as soon as possible and sell him and use those funds. For me, the most important thing right now is to find a backup for Casemiro. And for me, that's 100%. I mean, I'm on board with it. It's Camavinga. I love that guy. I want him on the team. You know, there were different players that we wanted at some point. There were, you know, people were talking about Van der Beek, who's now at Manchester United. You know, there was Pogba at one point. And, you know, I doubt that conversation is still being had. I would rather have a younger guy, you know, in Camavinga and have him play as a backup to Casemiro. So, you know, that's what I think we are missing. And then we're missing a number nine, whether that's going to be Haaland, whether that's going to be, we need another attacker, a goal scorer. So whether that's going to be Haaland or that's going to be Mbappe, you know, a lot of people are talking about Mbappe being, you know, Haaland being more of what we're looking for as opposed to Mbappe. I would say, why not get them both? But, you know, we'll see how that's going to play out. But I think the most important part for us is the center midfielder the defensive midfielder that will basically be a sub or a super sub for Casemiro at this point. Or if Casemiro gets injured, will be our starting defensive midfielder and can make, you know, pick up the slack for those guys, pick up the slack for that guy. And I think Camavinga is one of those guys. Fede Valverde not being available. I mean, he can sort of play that position, but that's not really his position. He does add a good defensive element. He is a fighter when it comes to the ball, but that's not his position. I'd rather Fede be a starter along with Casemiro and with Kroos or with Odegaard. Valverde and Casemiro. You know, you have different options there, but we need somebody else that can step in for Casemiro. And I'm 100% on board with Camavinga. I really would like him to come to the team. I would also like to give a shot, hopefully, for Zidane to try to bring up Antonio Blanco from, I think it's Antonio, is it Alfredo? It's Antonio Blanco from Real Madrid Castilla. I think he's a solid player. I think he's been doing some interesting stuff from the games I've seen from Castilla. You know, maybe bring him up. Obviously not somebody you're going to want to have as an immediate substitute for Casemiro, but I think bringing him in slowly into the starting lineup, into the senior team would be interesting because I've seen a lot of solid things from him and I like him. But besides that, I mean, that's where we really suffered in this game. And then so you bring on Vinny for Hazard, who I thought had a great game. I thought Hazard is looking good. I'm really liking what I'm seeing from Hazard. I liked what I saw from Lucas Vázquez in this game. As much as people try to hate on him, I like what I saw from him. I don't think he did a bad game whatsoever. I think the overall, I really feel like the team played pretty solid. And the one person that I blame the goal on, the tying goal on, was Vinicius. He's not playing to the potential that everybody had for this kid. You know, we've been singing his praises for so long, and then he has these, you know, moments of greatness when it comes to his dribbles and his tenacity and his fearlessness when it comes to facing the defense, you know, the defenders and going into the box. But then it's his decision making in that final third that leaves so much to be desired. You know, people have talked about it before. He'll shoot when he should be passing, and he'll pass when he should be shooting. So there are so many different things that he's just not confident up there. And occasionally he'll have a brilliant moment and score a goal. But at this point, he lacks that consistency. Hazard is our guy on that side. I think, I think Rodrigo should get a start over Asensio. Even Lucas Vázquez at this point. But I think Asensio needs to fight for that spot again. He needs to come in and show that he can pick up the slack and come in and get his form back. And the only way you're going to do that is if he's going to have to fight for his position again. But Vinny came in, they went on a run. There was a solid breakaway. They really could have scored the second goal that would have put us in the win column, because I think it was towards the last few minutes of the game. And he just, it was a terrible pass to what looked like an easy, I mean, obviously I'm not a soccer player, professional soccer player by any means. My soccer is, you know, my soccer lately, or my football prowess lately, has been relegated to me, playing football with my 5-year-old kid as he goes to his soccer practice. But that's pretty much it. But it seemed like a wide open, easy pass to an oncoming and on running Lucas Vázquez on the right flank. And he just completely bottled that pass. And that pass ended up causing the counterattack play that ended up in the penalty that that Villarreal ended up equalizing the game with. Could Courtois have done a better job? Sure. I mean, it seems like he was he hadn't decided to pull his hand out at the last minute and didn't commit to trying to get the ball from Villarreal in that point, and that was it. That's what cost us the game. To me, that was just bad decision making again, or not even bad decision making. It was just a sloppy pass from a player that so many people are expecting so much more from. And at this point, God forbid Hazard gets injured again, but Hazard should be our starter on the left flank. No question about it. Vinicius definitely is obviously our sub on that side, but he's got to step it up because he's just been going downhill. He had a couple of good games at the beginning of the season and some flashes of great football, and then all of a sudden the last few games it's just been nothing, you know. And which so much said about so much stuff that was said about that. Riff between him and Benzema, or him talking about Vini being not playing well and potentially playing against them, as he said to Mendy. I would have to say, man, I mean, and maybe it's because I'm biased and I love Benzema to death, and I still think, I mean, he's once again found his footing when it comes to scoring, and hopefully this you know, knock doesn't take that away from him or kill his momentum. But he's the senior player, man, and he saw it. He saw that drop in form, and that drop in form continues. So you can't hate on somebody for telling the truth. And the truth was that Vinny has left a lot to be desired. The team as a whole, so even though I'm saying we should be positive about this, the team was really handicapped in a lot of ways in this game. And I think they showed character in the sense that they went out and fought for a 1-1 draw In a Villarreal, that's been a difficult team for Real Madrid as of late. La Cerámica, the stadium, Estadio La Cerámica, has been a difficult place for Real Madrid to win for a few seasons now. So getting that draw when you are missing so many players, I think not that it was great, or I'm saying, you know, we should all be happy about it. But I think a lot of us were going into knowing all the losses. I mean, the loss of players we had and the injuries we had. I think a lot of people were worried, and I was seeing it on Twitter. A lot of people were worrying that we were going to drop, we were going to be worse, that we were going to lose this game. And then potentially, you know, the other game that's coming up, which is against Inter, that one is the one that we need to definitely, you know, we have to win that game. And I think they showed great character in this game with all the issues that we currently have with injury and with COVID. So that, I think, is the asterisk that we can place next to this draw. And once again, not feel like it's all doom and gloom. We sit in fourth place. We are currently, we are currently 2 points behind Villarreal, 3 points behind Atletico Madrid, and 6 points behind Real Sociedad. Is it all doom and gloom? No, I don't think so. Doom and gloom is Barcelona, guys. Barcelona is performing absolutely terrible. And this is just you could see that this is just a strange season because it's a season of restructuring. And then other teams that you wouldn't expect to be performing well are doing pretty well. You know, Cadiz is one of them that, you know, caused us some headaches. Granada is another team that causes headaches to teams. Real Sociedad is always a team that causes headaches, and they're now in first place. So, you know, these are the situations. And we're in a rebuilding mode. But do we have enough to win La Liga? I still think we have enough to win La Liga with our current squad if they're all healthy. And if they're all healthy. But we need to make signings in winter. If we don't make signings in winter, we're going to have some issues. I definitely feel like something needs to happen in something needs to be brought in winter for us to sort of have an extra, I would say, I don't know what else to call it, but like an extra oomph on the bench. You know, we need that bench needs to have something, whether it's more firepower, whether it's better defensive midfielder, whether it's Camavinga, whether it's Haaland, whether it's somebody else that we can add to this lineup to sort of give us some sort of more solidity. Who it's going to be, we don't know. But if we can make moves, I think right now we have to make those moves sooner rather than later if we want to compete in Europe. And I think, well, a lot is going to depend, obviously, on the Inter game. Some people are even talking about, is the Inter game going to cost Zidane his job if we lose it? Because if we lose it, I think we're essentially out of the Champions League. And, you know, we're in the Europa. We would most likely be in the Europa League, which would be insane to be watching Real Madrid in the Europa League. So there's a lot of work to do. But it's not the end of the road for Real Madrid. It's not the end of the road at all. I think, like I said, I think there's positives to take away. I thought the whole team looked solid. We lost out because essentially we granted the equalizer because essentially the best players on our team right now, the players that have had to step in are our veterans. Guys that normally, like with Modric, guys that normally were guys that we were thinking are, you know, this is their season where they're probably going to be coming off the bench to help us. And instead, we're having to start them because our starting players either are not performing well, our young players are either not performing well or are injured in the case of Valverde or Casemiro, which who has COVID. Like our starting guys haven't been able to be there out there consistently. So that's an issue. That is an issue. That's the issue there. But I think the positives that you can take away from this is Varane looked like himself again. Carvajal is back. And we definitely can, I can definitely can tell you when we were seeing that that issue of not having a right back, a real right back, was causing issues in the defense. Because essentially, if, you know, Lucas Vázquez or Nacho would go venture too far up and they would lose their markers, then essentially you have a center back who's going to have to, who make up for that mistake and is going to leave his position, or he's either going to leave his position or leave his man to go chase off the guy that to go cover the gap left by the right back, or he's going to have to maintain his position and let that oncoming striker, that oncoming winger, basically be left alone and be able to run into the box and pick a shot or pick a pass. So that is what we've been running into, where we didn't have a tried and true right back that would normally not make those mistakes, you know, which would also mean that if our right back is solid, then it also adds to the fact that our wingers, if this case and we're playing a 4-3-3, that our right winger isn't having to run back and isn't having to be as worried as let's say Asensio in the game against Inter, where he essentially was, you know, trying to make up for and help Mendy on the right flank with Hakimi, you know, because, and so essentially you're taking out one important piece of your attack because you're not as confident of having somebody that's not a right back or, you know, a tried and true right back in that position. So whether it was Vázquez or it was Mendy being used as a makeshift right back, or Nacho being used as a makeshift right back, you don't have somebody there that you're really 100% as a teammate sure that he can handle things and do his job. So you're essentially, now obviously you're always going to want to help, but essentially that you can kind of let him be and you can kind of leave that, not in the back of your mind, but you're not as concerned about it. Because it's kind of like anything else in life, I think. If everybody's doing their job on the team, then you don't really have to think that, hey, so-and-so isn't doing this, so now I got to make sure I go over there and help them a little bit. So now I'm taking away from my time. Let's say we're working on a work project or something like that, to put it in layman's terms. You know, you're working on some sort of project. If you have somebody that's straggling and is not really, I wouldn't say is not doing their job, but they're not, that's really not their forte, then you kind of have to go over there and help that person. And helping that person, number one, takes away from your time and your own performance. And so that's what's essentially happening when what I felt was happening with that right back position at Madrid. So you have a center back, which I felt like Varane, who has been lacking in confidence, but maybe him feeling that his right back in that position was going to need some help and wasn't going to be up to par 100%, made him a little bit question his decision-making. And then it also affects the winger, and then it also affects the midfielder on that right flank. So you have those issues. And that is the issue that when you have a player that is important, somebody like Carvajal out, and then you have their backup, which is Odriozola, also out, essentially everybody is worried about that position. And I think that all reverberates on the team. And then with the same thing, when you have somebody as important as Casemiro out, and you have now Modric and Kroos thinking that they have to, you know, cover that position, it takes away from the job that they should be doing. So we have to take a look at that and think about, you know, these are the things that are affecting the team, because not only have we had those players be injured, some, you know, people like Casemiro and Carvajal, but we don't even have backups for those players. So and essentially we have to create some sort of makeshift position, or bring in somebody who's, that's not really their position, to cover those spots, and then tell the rest of the team, hey, let's keep an eye out on that, because we're missing essentially, you know, the people that are trained to do that position, to cover that position. So that reverberates and that causes a drop. Not, I feel like, not only a drop in quality, but a drop in morale, a drop in confidence. And I think that's what's been happening with Madrid as of late, is all these injuries are definitely causing that problem. Not having Ramos is definitely going to be an issue, because I was going to post a video the other day that somebody had sent me, but it was pretty phenomenal about, and I recommend you guys check it out. It might be on YouTube or something, but it was a video of the Inter Milan game at the Alfredo Di Stefano. Basically, this field mic'd up, no sound from the crowd, obviously, because there was no sound of the crowd. But it was focusing on everything Ramos was doing. And you could see how vocal Ramos is on the field. I mean, he's yelling at players. He's yelling at Casemiro not to move from his marker, to move from his position. He's telling Courtois to kick the ball quickly out. He's telling the other player to move up. He's telling Fede Valverde to come back. He's telling, you know, he's telling the midfielder, he was telling Kroos to move to the left. I mean, there were so many things that he was trying to do, and very vocally being the captain of the team. And that is the type of intensity. And because of his personality and because of his greatness, in the sense of he's an amazing footballer, it really makes sense that the entire team listens to him. And not having him on the pitch is a huge issue, because I don't see anybody else that can pick up that that role and really try to make sure the team is moving in the way it should be moving, that they're in the positions that they should be in, and is firing them up when they need to be fired up. And that's going to be a huge loss against Inter. So I think that's going to be the one that we're really worried about, is that. I think this Villarreal game, I really do think that we should look at some of the positives that came out of it. I think the team as a whole performed well. The people that we knew have been struggling are struggling. But we got, you know, we definitely got Carvajal back, which I think was huge. I think Odegaard looked great. I think Modric and Kroos are definitely, two players that are of immense quality. I think Nacho looked way better as a center back than he does as a right back. So will he take up that spot? Will Militao be back for to play against Inter? Will Militao, play to his potential, which we know he's done well in the past, but hasn't been playing well either? We'll see. Right now, the team is handicapped. It's been handicapped for a while now. And yes, I believe there's some tactical things there with Zidane that I feel we, like, once again, that whole circling in the 4-3-3 that we move from left to right and right to left, and it's just horizontal pass after horizontal pass, and there's no incisiveness unless you have Vinicius. But with Vinicius not playing well, how does that help? So we're lacking that. We're lacking that in the final third. We're lacking that that killer instinct, and that's still going to be a problem. But we also have to address the other problems. I feel like defense is starting to shape up a little bit better. Once we get Ramos back, now that we have Carvajal back, Mendy is doing a tremendous job as a left back. Varane seems to be finding his way again. So those are all positive things that we can take away from that. But in the midfield, once again, we need somebody to be a backup for Casemiro, especially in a season where we're seeing that injuries and COVID can cause tons of issues. We need some depth on our bench, and I think that needs to be addressed in the upcoming window. But it's not all doom and gloom, guys. I mean, if this was if we were in fourth place and this was maybe the 25th match day, I think there's 25th or 30th match day, it's doom and gloom. But I mean, obviously Inter is a huge one when it comes to Europe. But I think this team, even as it is, has what it takes to win La Liga, if we have all the pieces correctly. But we do need depth on the bench, because there is no way, and I'm telling you guys this now, as much as I don't want to jinx it, knock on wood, there is no way that we're going to survive the rest of the season without one more parte médico. There's no way we're going to go the entire rest of the season once we get all these guys back where no one is going to get injured. You know, there will be injuries, and what we need is depth. It also depends on who gets injured, because we have some guys obviously on our team that have no replacement. But that's it. You know, we need to add some depth, and I think those decisions need to be made in the winter transfer window. And that's it, guys. That's this episode of the podcast. Thank you, everyone, once again for joining me for this one. It's been 2 weeks since our last podcast. So, you know, the international break took it out of me. Then I went on vacation. So I'm glad to be back, and I'm glad that football is back. I'm glad that club football is back, because that's what excites me, especially now that Colombia is doing absolutely terrible, and I don't think I'm going to watch much of that. But yeah, I mean, once again, guys, it's not doom and gloom. Madridistas, we got to keep, you know, backing this team. Yes, there needs to be some changes made, but I think there's some positives that we can take away, especially up against a team like Villarreal. It's going to be tough, though. You know, I think right now the game that I'm most worried about definitely is Inter coming up this week. And then obviously down the line, I think Atletico is the team to beat right now when it comes to winning La Liga. I think they're the team that can possibly take it this year if we don't step up. Real Sociedad is going to be giving problems. And Villarreal is going to be, I mean, there's just so many teams right now in this rebuilding stage. There's so many teams that are giving us issues. Is Barcelona going to come back? Who knows? They're sitting in 10th place. So I think right now they're kind of the least of our worries. 12th place. They're kind of the least of our worries right now. But, you know, there's other teams out there that can always cause us problems. So the idea should be obviously to continue to try and win La Liga. But Europe is also going to be an issue, you know. So that's the one we're focused on right now, and that's the one I'm worried about. But anyways, thank you guys once again for listening to Y Nada Más, the Real Madrid podcast. Once again, we are available on all social media platforms at Y Nada Más Podcast, and that's on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. And we are also, if you want to contact us via email, if you want to write for us, you want to write any articles for us, we are currently asking people that are interested in writing analysis for games and opinion pieces about Real Madrid and want someplace to showcase their work. We currently ask that you hit us up at info@inadamas.net. That is our email address. So stay, you know, we'll take a look at that, and we'd love to have you on board as part of the team. And in addition to that, our podcast is available, of course, on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and we're also on TuneIn, and what was the other one? Oh, shoot, I forgot the other one. But anyway, we're everywhere podcasts are found. So whatever podcast aggregator you're looking at, if you don't find us or somebody tells you they haven't found us, please let us know. And that's it, guys. Also, check out inadamas.net. That's our website. You can listen to the podcast there as well. And good luck this week to Real Madrid. I know we can do it against Inter. I know we can. I have all the positivity in the world. A la Madrid. Inadamas. Let's keep going. Let's keep the faith, guys. And, you know, it's still early in the season when it comes to La Liga, but this is a do or die. That's the one I'm worried about. Europe, Champions League this week. And I hope I can come back with some good news this week, later this week. So check us out. Listen to the podcast and make sure you leave man, I'm just like terrible today when it comes to talking. I'm not finding my words. Make sure you leave a comment and a rating. If you are listening to us on Apple, make sure you leave a comment and a rating. Just, you know, show us some love. It really helps us rise up in the ranks in Apple and in the Apple podcasting charts. And that's it, guys. I'm not going to talk much else because I'm losing my way here. My mind is turning to mush. So we'll talk to you again soon. Hopefully I'll talk to you after the game against Inter. For those of you here in the U.S., happy Thanksgiving. If I don't talk to you until Sunday, into our next podcast, but I'll try to do one after the Champions League game. We'll see. And that's about it. Thank you for listening once again.
This has been Y Nada Más, al Real Madrid Podcast.